Church, it is so good to be back. Indeed. What a gift it is to worship with you guys. This is our family. This is our home. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for carrying us this year. It's not what was expected, but it has been a good year to see how the Lord has worked in us and hopefully through us. I always forget this part, so I made sure I was going to do it now. Is in the back, there's the update. I send out an update letter every month. There's the signups for that. There's the QR code stuff too. And then I also read the update letter on a podcast every month. And we'd love for you guys to continue to support and be with us, pray with us as we see God doing a great work with an unreached people group in Guatemala with the deaf. It's been an exciting year, and we're going to get into that. But I'm still kind of nervous. I really don't know what language to go in or what which direction's up. So this morning we're going to start in Genesis 11, and we're going to preach through the whole Bible this morning. So no, we'll be in Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. And this story is something that we felt this year, and we kind of wrestled with the Tower of Babel and the confusion of language. So if you'll stand with me, we'll go ahead and jump into the Word. Let me pray first. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to share. Thank you for the access that we have, for the rich doctrine and the teachings that are so accessible to us in our language. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Holy Spirit, please help me to communicate your heart and give a clear testimony to what we've seen you do this year. We love you and thank you. In the name we pray. Amen. Genesis 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, and the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Father, thank you so much for these little stories that explain so much of the world that we live in. Father, thank you that you don't leave us here in Genesis 11, but that you are doing a work in us, in the church, and you are getting your will done. Father, give us ears to hear your heart in this text and in this time. Sing with me. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Father, we love you and trust you and thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's jump back into this text a little bit. Notice where it starts off is the people were moving eastward. This is right after the flood narrative, where they were commanded to fill the earth. And the people were moving, and they came to the plain of Shinar. We've seen and felt this in a whole new way, what it takes to sustain life. What it takes, the fresh water, the community, some sort of livelihood, the food source. And they found it. They found their place. This was it, the plains of Shinar. It was comfortable. They didn't need anything more. To go further, to fill the earth, was to take a great risk. But that's what God commanded. God has always had this heart to fill the earth. It was just given in chapter 9 to Noah and his sons. Go and fill the earth, Adam and Eve. And then we see it just echoed throughout the stories of the Old Testament. To David, to Joshua, to Moses, is it to go out, take dominion, fill the earth. My name is so big, it needs to be proclaimed in all of the earth. But this part in us, this brokenness, clings to the comfortable. It clings to the easy. We were challenged this year. And I think that God challenged all of us at some point. Where are we comfortable? Where is these limits on our risk that we want to take? And notice that it was God that came down. The Tower of Babel, it's really kind of fun to geek out about, is right after the flood narrative, then we get some genealogies, and then it's the Tower of Babel. Like, it's still in their conversation of the world, the stories, the legends that were being passed down. They built out of this cooked brick, and the same word that that Noah used to seal the boat is what they used for their mortar. This tower was an affront to God. Their command, or the promise that God gave them, was what? What was the promise and the sign in the sky? I will never flood the earth again. And so what does man do? Let's build a tower. Let's make it waterproof. Like, they had no trust or faith in God's promises. They wanted to take care of it themselves. And they say, go about this. And what in here it also says in this narrative, that they wanted to make a name for themselves. But what is the command to all of humanity? Whose name are we supposed to be making great? It's God's name. But there's something in our nature that always pulls back. Okay, in my security, in my comfortable lifestyle, my capability, I'm going to build this provision, a waterproof tower. I won't need to trust in the promises of God. But it was God that came down. And this is what's special about our God, is that he comes to us in our folly and he directs us. He puts limits on our life and guides and directs us. This confusion of language we have felt firsthand this last year. But this was a gift. The gift of limits of language was so that they wouldn't continue in their sin. It was so that they would naturally scatter, that they wouldn't keep pulling back. It moved them out of the plains of Shinar. It is God's gift, these limits, to help us to be obedient and to break us out of the comfortable life and the security that we try to build ourselves. God helped us so much this last year with language. The boys, it's just ridiculous. In language school, they just excel. Sarah and I, on the other hand, but it was God that gave these other languages. And he heard them. I got ahead of myself. I'm confused. Next slide. Is that God confuse the languages. He set these limits around them. But then that's not where he leaves us. We see again in the New Testament that God came and gave them the heavenly language. He gave the gift to the apostles to speak the languages of other men. This is God's business, is to set these limits in place to guide and protect us from sinning further. And then when we push up against those limits, he meets us there. He gives us the gift of language. He gives us the abilities that we need to go further. This is God's heart. The mind that he, next slide, the mind that he wants to put in us, the mind that we are to have, is that we are to humble ourselves and become obedient to the mandates, to the commands, so that every tongue will know that Jesus is Lord. That's God's heart, is to go to the ends of the earth, to fill the earth, and make his name great, not ours. And these limits of language and security, those are a gift to us. Sometimes they don't always feel like a gift, but they are. This last year has been an incredible year, but we have felt limits on so many different levels. But we have seen God come through and help us, that when we've reached the end of ourselves finally, then we could see him act. And there's so much that I want to share with you guys. It is a real challenge to pack this in. And then some of you guys have supported and followed and prayed and called and walked with us this year. So the best way that I think that I can share what God has done in us and hopefully through us this last year is to look at it like the seasons of the year. Is that this isn't a normal year, but we have seen the Spirit guiding and leading us through these clearly different times. It's been said before that spiritual maturity is looking to the Spirit to see what season you are in and what is coming next, and then walking with him through that season appropriately and obediently. This idea of seasons of life, seasons of ministry, oh, it's rich. And it really helped us unfold things. Our story started in summer, and that was exciting. You guys played a crucial role in that. But that pre-field preparation, it was liberating and exciting. But we saw God move in a powerful way with just the selling of our house and all of our junk. People coming in alongside of us in the pre-field training in Colorado. The send out from this church, oh my gosh. Guys, that encouraged us so much, and we've looked back on that time. It was so special. And what a unique thing that was when we were in missionary school and talking to other missionaries. The love and care that you guys have given us sets the bar so high. But this community, this church, and our faith family, we are so blessed to have you guys. But this was our summer, and you launched us. Everything's just action, exciting. We're seeing God come through and just open the door. We're along for the ride. But after summer comes fall, probably my second least favorite. Our fall landed us in Antigua for 6 months of language school. Probably should have taken something other than ceramics in high school, but it is what it is. As God has led us down to Antigua, we had a great Spanish school, but that season, our fall kicked off with a lot of grieving, a lot of culture shock, and trying to figure out this different way of living. It was a little bit more than bumpy for us. The summer was exciting, and you couldn't really help but get just caught up in it. But then in fall, you're just kind of hammering away. It was a little rough. One of the funny times, it's funny now, it, wasn't funny then. But, I mean, we didn't know how to cook, shop. We're walking around town trying to figure things out. And now we go to Antigua, and it's like a vacation for us. But in that time, it was a little rough. And so one day, the family's just kind of spent, and Sarah's doing homework or something. And so, I'm like, honey, I got this. I'll cook dinner tonight. And they were more than a little homesick, so I'm going to give them some comfy food, right? I'm going to cook them hot dogs. Like, that's about the max of my cooking contribution to the family. So I go to the market, buy some hot dogs, get everything, talk to the house we're staying at to get a barbecue going, figure it all out, pretty excited, finally get hot dogs going. Cooking, even this season of fall, like all of our strengths and abilities just went away. We used to be capable. I used to be able to cook hot dogs, but not in Guatemala. Come to find out, in Guatemala, they individually wrap the hot dogs in plastic. So I finally get going, cooking. These things aren't cooking normal. And then they're not smelling good. And we tried to save them. I'll spare you the pictures. But I'm pretty sure we just ended up with popcorn and a smoothie again that Sarah made. But we just saw so many of our strengths leave us. The limits of language and language school, the boys, I mean, we're looking over there, they're playing games, doing crafts, going on tours of the city and stuff, and Spanish is just coming in. Their accent just comes in perfect. If you can get them to speak Spanish, it's pretty awesome. The best is when they start arguing in Spanish with each other. But for Sarah and I, we had to really work at it. And me a little bit more than Sarah. And we ended up, after the end of Spanish school, we'd come home, just no talking. Nobody, I need to remember my name. When we hit that limit of our capability and we're so beyond our strength, it felt like Spanish was never going to come. Questioning, like, did we get the right country? What did we do wrong here? But that limit was when we started to see God, when we felt him guide us and take this under a whole different direction. And Spanish is coming. We can negotiate with doctors, police, the landlord, I can do business. It's good. Sign language, praise the Lord, is coming so much easier. But fall for us then ended up where we went to El Progreso and we joined GDM. And this is kind of like our fall harvest time. Our time with GDM, we hit the ground running and it was awesome. We got to see some of our strengths return. I was able to put into place a couple contracts for the interior drywall and the electrical, do some stormwater design, working on the septic tank. We were like feeling like missionaries at this point. This was awesome. Sarah's getting the boys settled in homeschool after their sabbatical. And it really felt like we were right where God wanted us. And our time in El Progreso has been very blessed. GDM is knocking it out of the park. They take somebody that has no language, walks them all the way through their education, and they can go and test out and graduate with a diploma. And their graduates are functioning in the community. They're working. The church is thriving. Pastor Jonathan's leadership down there is phenomenal. And Elvis, the national director. GDM is sweet. Living with getting to know the deaf community was rich. Having the deaf in our house, learning the cultural differences. What we learned in school is that culture follows language. And to really start to see the differences of working with the deaf community and seeing Guatemala's history and heritage and the lifestyle through the deaf community. It was a very rich time. The other next slide. To see, like, I knew the facts. We've been there once before. But the deaf in Guatemala, to have the faces and the stories right in front of you, it is a gut-wrenching, stirring to action thing. The 8 to 10% of their population is deaf. In the States, it's about 3.5%. But down there, they don't have the same opportunities and the same advantages of right to interpreter. They're saying 6 out of 10, the experts, 6 out of 10 have no language whatsoever. Out of a country of 17.5 million, so there's 1.7 million deaf in Guatemala and over a million deaf 5 hours from LAX that have no way to communicate, no way to even know the name of Jesus. And to be a part of that was a powerful experience. But then winter sets in, my least favorite month. I think a lot of you, after last year when we left, winter's probably moved up a notch. But winter set in. And winter for us kind of hit hard. God shut the door on our time at GDM. And it left us in a season of wondering what he was doing. It was Nola. I finished the contracts with the electrical. We were able to get the lights on in the building, and the lights for our opportunity in GDM were coming down. And it was a challenging season. But the thing that we learned, was to be carried by others. God, in his provision, already knew this was going to take place. There is another ministry in town, and that's Jeff, the dad of this family that moved down there with three boys about the same age as ours 15 years ago. They have a sweet work. But this guy, Jeff, came alongside of me in the church. I don't think I've ever experienced somebody as gifted in mercy as him. I think he cried more for this season than I did for me and my family. And Jeff and Rita, they and the boys have loved us and just taken us in. The church, Pastor Mike and Jonathan, and the many hours on the phone, the Zoom meetings with our prayer supporters. We do that once a month prayer Zoom meeting. The governing board that stepped into place when we kind of had no organization over us. And the care of so many of you guys. We learned to be carried by others. This season then of kind of the healing and the sorting out what was next, God led us to other missionaries in Guatemala, a family that has become so dear to us. They've been there 37 years, raised their kids there. They took us in. At one point, there's a national conference of all the missionaries in country. They invited us to go 4 days early with them. And basically, I was in like two-a-day counseling sessions. So after breakfast, everybody would leave, and it's me and Mr. Michael. And we're just talking through what the Lord may be doing and the different opportunities. And then after lunch, then again. But the love of the brethren, not only in country, but those back here. It was a privilege to be in that. It's one of those seasons where you never wish that on anybody. You don't want to go back, but you wouldn't trade it for anything. Is this have the Spirit, the brethren, love on us, the provision and protection over our kids as we're sorting this all out. It was very sweet. In this time, we learned to actively wait. Actively waiting is not very easy on me. But we found opportunities to serve. Right after the door closed on GDM, we had six job offers come in within 2.5 weeks. I was really flattered and encouraged for a quick minute and then realized there's not a lot of competition to work in a developing country for free. So, but we investigated all these different leads to see if God was leading us there. We jumped on with some other ministries, helping and supporting them in their efforts. We've kind of found a niche with Jeff and Rita in El Progreso, helping out with the stove project. You guys have seen us doing that. This is the first generation in Guatemala that has grown up in peace. They had a 35-year civil war that is like a borderline genocide situation. And then before that, there was a 10-year gap from 1950 to 60, but before that, it's just been a war-torn country. But this generation for 30 years has grown up in peace. It kind of feels like we're cheating being missionaries because there's so much change taking place in the church and in the government. They seated a really good president. In 2020, they passed a law recognizing that sign language is an official language. The schools are and the government are supposed to be making concessions to teach and help this. It's changing slowly but surely. So it's really exciting to be kind of this force multiplier behind this, to just come in and aim for these little pockets that are missed. And the deaf is definitely one of those underserved peoples. This stove project, because it's the first time in peace, they've just been in survival mode for generations. And so they're living in these little huts, and they just cook open fire in their adobe huts. In our area, it's adobe. Up in the other mountains, it's wood. But all that smoke just goes into their living quarters. And you could see it just up there caked. I mean, they're living in a chimney. So the lung diseases and the eye diseases are a huge problem up there. But what's so exciting about this little niche we found is I think our family's been in just over 70 homes. We get to go in and help install these. They prepare the bases. And then this other ministry has raised the support to give these stoves. How many other missionaries or pastors get an opportunity to go visit people in their homes and see the actual living conditions and see their kids? We've found several deaf that nobody knew about by these types of visits. We kind of found our solid ground just by serving. Levi actually did a filling on a Guatemalan. We've joined up with these dental teams, with the vet clinics. The main thing is we just help with these other teams that are coming in doing this humanitarian work. And we have a ministry both with those that were serving in Guatemala, but also with the teams that are coming down, driving, trying to translate, and being a part of the teams is kind of where we found our niche. When our limits were drawn, we found a way to still serve and be a blessing and to still help his name be known. So the winter is still not quite over. There's always that day, the dead of winter, the turning point. And yes, we found our solid ground by serving, and we were kind of getting some direction working with these teams that we're visiting, but to the personal struggle and conflict and the trial of that winter season still needed to kind of come to a front. And so we've already went through all those six ministries, and God didn't seem to be leading there. And so one day I go up to these villages near us. Maybe God's got something up there. And to be honest, I was looking for my burning bush. I was looking for a sign in the sky. Kind of frustrated with how things are turning out. Me and God are having our intense fellowship, and I'm not getting anything. So I'm driving through these villages, hike through a couple more, nothing. And then on the way back, it's the end of, they're all coming in from the fields up in the mountains, and they're carrying their coffee bags and then their couple little tools that they have. And there was actually, like, I've told you guys I wasn't supposed to be a missionary, but we all are missionaries. And this is my little warning. But the heart in me at this time was not what a missionary is supposed to have. It's like, God, I was literally envious of those coffee workers because they were living their purpose. And they had that job satisfaction that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And it's kind of whining to God, like, God, I just want to know your purpose. What is your will for our family? Why did you have us train wreck it and move us down here? Then kind of debriefing with Sarah, the thing that when I got back was that I really felt the Spirit challenge me is, what is it that you're envious about? Well, they're busy about their family business. Like, they know what they do every day. They just get up and go take care of the coffee fields. And I felt the Spirit asking me, what's your family business? I don't know. You just move me down here kind of deal. But then the Spirit just wouldn't let this family business thing go. What is your family business? Just make disciples. I'm in your family. And to hear that come out and to hear the Lord walk me through this, what's your family business to make disciples? I still feel called to the deaf. And God just said, be busy about your family business. Just like those coffee workers. They don't question it. They're not looking for a sign, somebody to tell them to go to the fields. They just do it. And we felt this rush of freedom, this peace come over us. Be about the family business, making disciples among the deaf. That was the end. That was my low of winter. And then spring came. Spring's quick, but man, when it comes, it's exciting. We're seeing these small beginnings. We found, and the mayor of El Progreso came to Jeff and to us to ask us to teach an English class. Their premier job for Guatemalans is to work in call centers. That would be success for them to get a job in that. So they're working really hard at learning English. And so we're able to come alongside the community. I've started to get to know the village leaders up in this mountain community. I got an opportunity to preach during an Easter service at one of the mountain churches. And then God has led us to a church body in Jutiapa that is, it's rich. This church is, they just have a missional heart for Guatemala. It's Guatemalan. And they've expanded to 7 different locations. They have a deaf church in the capital area, and they are translating at their main campus. And so they have a heart for the deaf. And this church plant in Jutiapa, right next to us, about 20 minutes away, for the first time since Antigua, since we left here, like, we felt like we are home in a church body. And to experience that fellowship again was rich. In this time, we've been operating the stoves and the clinics and stuff up in this mountain region called Canton Valencia, and there's 50,000 residents up there. It's spread across 29 villages. If you tried to visit all of them, we're talking hours, days. It is rough, remote. And out of those 70 homes, we've installed stoves, and I think we've seen 2 with floors. I've seen one refrigerator in a home. It's rough living up there. But there's 50,000 people up there. There's over 5,000 deaf statistically there, that there's no opportunities for them to learn sign language, to learn the name of Jesus, to learn to communicate within their family. We see God stirring in us an area to operate out of. We kind of developed 2 priorities in this time, is to do a family-based ministry, is to work at aiming at families with deaf and to help not just the family but also the deaf learn sign language. There's no replacing a father and mother's love. And there's some cultural boundaries to overstep, but to help minister to the whole family unit, they've had public schools up there for 6 years now, so the whole older generation, like our age and above, or all the adults, totally illiterate. But the kids are growing up reading and writing and speaking Spanish. There's an opportunity. There's churches. The Guatemalan denominations have come in and planted churches in every village. We've yet to find a village without a church. Different denominations, but they have gospel representation up there. But we see an opportunity. A priority of ours is to work within existing ministries, churches, and the family unit to serve the deaf. There is no other ministries besides Jeff and Rita and us serving this community. It's pretty remote and pretty tough living. But God has opened up some doors. There's the next slide. This is the area up there in the mountains. There's a part of it that just kind of feels like home. It's about the same elevation as here. This is our style. It's all dirt roads, and this is where God is leading us. And it's sweet. We've met a family that he's actually in the States, the son, and is a cook at a restaurant in LA, and he's built a house there, and he's open to rent it to us. And it's got a floor, so no water, but it's got electricity and a floor, so it's kind of a specialty up there. But we're looking at renting this little casitas. Our governing board just approved us to do this so that we can go up there and spend 2 or 3 days up there at a time. We got approval with the village leader to host a family ministry, a family workshop in their community center that Jeff and Rita had built them. Another village leader said we could use their schools in the afternoons after the kids go home. And so we're just planning on doing these workshops where we take a deaf person and somebody in their family, 13 years or older, and we're always training a deaf person and a hopeful interpreter. And so we're excited to see what God makes of this. But we need to be drowned in this area in prayer. The Canton Valencia is a special area, and you could just see the Spirit working in these little structures of the schools and the schools and the churches. It's daunting. Guys, there's no way I would have train wrecked our life to go wander around the mountains and try to carve this thing out in the beginning. But we've just seen God's shift, those limits put into place to help steer us into this new work. We're very excited and at peace and at content with this direction. But I don't think we would have been able to move down there for that. It is so big. If anything comes of this, it has to be the Lord. Our limits were so far behind us. Church, I'm kind of preaching to the choir on this, but please engage in missions. It activates a whole nother segment of the church body. Please engage in missions. And there's the military Baptist side of me that everything has to have an acronym. But it all starts with prayer. Pray for a work. Pray for us. Pray that God would lead you into what your opportunity is to engage in missions. He wants to take you past the plains of Shinar. He's put limits in place to help guide us. And he wants to work within those limits. After you pray, some of you guys may have to leave. You may have to let go of something. But God's heart is for his name to be known in all of the earth. Some of you in this church is preaching to the choir, but is to equip and educate. You guys have this great privilege of having the Bible college. Missions needs to be the drum that you're beating. These kids are going to be coming in here a year at a time to be sent out to make his name great. It's all about that. You guys, like you have, is to assist and accept missionaries. With the Bible college, I wonder if God's going to be bringing people back into the community. Just like there's that work in sending out, there's a work in receiving back. This is the Acts 15 of Paul coming back to the church. There's a good work in the missions to do that. Support. You guys have blessed us so much. This church and their commitment to be given 15% is setting the standard. As I've gotten to know other churches and other missionaries, you guys are leading the way and supporting. But keep going. Please don't stop. And to encourage, equip, and encounter. This area, El Progreso, is amazing. The work that GDM is doing, the hopeful work that we're doing, is I hope that some of you guys come to encounter it. I hope that you see what it's like when a people moves up against the limits and God pushes them past the limit for his name's sake. Some of you guys are going to need to encounter missions. In conclusion, is we go to the limits. Christians, the call from the beginning of Genesis has been to go and fill the earth. Our God is that big that we are to make his name great among the nations. We are not just about building up our little community in a comfortable area, that we are a part of a family that is expanding the kingdom. God's heart, and we've seen it, is God's heart is to go to the least and the lost. Jesus is always going to those that have been underdeserved and overlooked. Missions is not just about doing good, powerful works in Jesus' names. It's about seeking the lost. This is the filling the banquet table with those alongside the highways and the byways, underneath the hedges. Like we're crawling around. This is missions, to find an unengaged, unreached people group and introduce them to Jesus. This is what we're about. Over a million people, 5 hours from LAX, have no way to communicate the name of Jesus. Church, thank you guys so much for this year, standing by us, the elders and the pastors, for loving us and helping guide us through the limits that we ran up against. But church, this is the work to make his name great. Please stand with me as we pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for allowing my family to be a part of your kingdom expansion. What a gift it is to be a part of this work of making your name great and bringing your name to a people that have no idea. What a privilege it is for this church to be a part of this. Thank you for the family, the faith family that you have gifted this church. Thank you for allowing us to be here, and thank you for allowing us to be a part of this kingdom expansion. Holy Spirit, would you please continue to be with the pastors and elders and the individual families here and guide us into how we are to be a part of the kingdom expansion and still be here, a light, the salt and light in this community. Holy Spirit, show us the limits and help us break through them for your name's sake, not ours. Give us an obsession with taking your name to the lost and to the least. Father, what a privilege it is to be here with this family. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.